好玩。
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. We must be sweet home of happy and free.
Amen.
In heaven, no dropping or pining, no wishing
or elsewhere to That's
be.
Right, that's what heaven is. No
God's
wishing for
elsewhere. God's light is forever. They're shining. How beautiful heaven must be.
Amen.
How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of love, they are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of Peneor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Must be sweet home of the happy and free. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be.
Amen.
How beautiful heaven must be. We must be sweet home of the happy and free. Fair heaven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Thank you, honey. Amen. Well, I never thought about this, no wishing for elsewhere to be. There's been times in my life I've been places I was wishing I was somewhere else. But heaven's not a place like that. Heaven's one of them kind of places you don't want to be nowhere else. I never thought about that word in that song. Well, bye, Sister Gail. Did you come up with one? All right. I thought Donnie's going to join him there for a minute. He stepped out with a book in his hand.
Back him up.
Out on the hills of glory land. So happy and free at God's right hand. They tell of a place through marvelous grace called heaven's bright shore. Pilgrims on earth someday will go to live in that home forevermore. Trusting in Him who died for sin and rose from the grave. On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no dying over there. Not one little grave in all that fair land. Not even a tear will dim the eye, and no one up there will say goodbye. Just singing His praise through endless ages on heaven's bright shore. When I must cross that rolling tide, someone will be on the other side to welcome my soul to that fair land. Make perfect my love. As I walk up that milky white way, I'll see that homecoming in array. How great it must be for angels to see a pilgrim reach home.
Yeah.
On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no dying over there. Not one little grave in all that fair land. Not even a tear will dim the eye, and no one up there will say goodbye. Just singing his praise through the endless ages on heaven's bright shore.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're singing his praise. The endless ages. I thought they were singing under his feet at the first there. I thought that was a under his feet. Is that one of them Baptist waspers? Oh, right. My pastor told me he'd done a revival one night in a church, and he said there was a wasp in there. He said they chased that wasp around all night long. And he said they finally killed the thing. And he said he wished he had that kind of attention that wasp got while he's a preaching. Amen. Amen. All right. James chapter 5, unless somebody's got something else on your heart tonight. James chapter 5. Open up your Bible there. And I thought about this all the way over here tonight as I just kind of looked around. James chapter 5, we'll read two verses there. Verse 7, verse 8. James says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." He said, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain." He said, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And I just want to read them two verses there tonight. Now, I want to preach tonight on the coming of the Lord. And you pray with me, for me, please. Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God, the inspired, infallible, and errant Word of God. Lord, we do well to take heed to, especially in these last days. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for a place called heaven. I thank you, Father, for a place called Calvary that made the way to heaven. Lord, I made a bridge from man, from earth to heaven. I thank you, Father, you was willing, Lord, that hill Golgotha to give your life a ransom. Lord, for all that would have you. And Lord, they may have a home in heaven. We pray, Lord, dear Father, tonight you would anoint the preaching and the preacher, dear Father, tonight. Lord, anoint the ears that are here tonight. We may hear that blessed Word of God and be encouraged in our heart. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' blessed name we'll ask it. Amen. The coming of the Lord. And I drove over here tonight and I looked up there at that moon. I looked up at that moon for some reason. As I looked at it, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be something if the Lord come tonight? Amen? Talking to Bobby a little bit here at the early part of the service. And he said, you remember you making that statement about a guy threatening to come back with his shotgun. And you told him, don't threaten me with heaven. He said, I'll wait on you. I said, yeah. He said, they wrote a song about that. I said, well, ain't that something? But you know, I agree with that. Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm going. Some woman said, hope to see in heaven. He said, it's up to you. He said, I'm going. Amen. One thing about heaven, praise God, I call it home. Amen. Man, what heaven used to be afar off, but now it's nigh. Now it's within reach. Now, praise God, it's a place I'm looking forward to going there where there'll be no more tear. There'll be no more heartache, no grave, no gravestone, no funeral services. Man, praise God, I appreciate that song little Katie sung there. And you know, up there in heaven, praise God, we won't be wishing for elsewhere to be. Boy, who penned them words? Just thinking about that. Won't be wishing for elsewhere to be. I'll finally be home, amen. Down here I've been trying to get somewhere. I don't know. I'm always either coming or going. But up there I'll come nor go no more, amen. I'll finally arrive at the destination that I had all along for, amen. I mean, we'll finally be home. And down here I try to make it home. And they try to take my home. And they try to figure out some way to cost me to live there where I can't afford it. But up there everything's free. I like in verse in the Bible like Isaiah chapter 55 that says, come by without money. Man, that sounds like home to me, amen. One thing I ain't never had a whole lot of is money, but up there had so much better body, just paved the streets with it, amen. I mean, glory to God, hallelujah. That sounds like the kind of place I want to call home, amen. I mean, down here, boy, like the door, turn the dog loose, set the alarm, and then sleep a one eye open up there, glory to God, no door, and everybody's happy, hallelujah, amen. Man, oh man, I wish we could just take a busload to heaven tonight. Come down here, praise God, come back, try to tell people about it. Say you won't believe, I'll tell you anyway. And they stand there looking at us like a calf looking at a new gate, and we try to tell them what great things we saw, like Paul. And he said such things. He said, ain't law believing the utter. He said, the eye ain't seen, the ear ain't heard, never's even in the heart. And you see a place like that, it'll ruin you for this world. And every now and then, through the eye of faith, I get a glimpse of it, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I looked up at that moon tonight driving over here, and a thought come to me. What if I did go home tonight? I thought, well, hallelujah. I'm just still like that one day, brother. Praise God. Don't threaten me with heaven. Glory to God, I'm not just in a hurry to go. I'm wanting to go. And I'll tell you what, hallelujah, one day I will go. But the coming of the Lord, James says here, he said we need to wait on it. And some things are worth waiting for. And he said, be patient. Brother Melvin, he's a farmer. And they raised the garden last year. And you put that seed in the ground. You didn't go out there next morning expecting big beans, did you? But you put it in faith. And then you waited for the rain. And then you got the weeds out. I'm sure your Margaret got it there and worked in a little bit, keep the weeds out, you know, so it wouldn't choke it. And the old salvation is kind of like that. You got to keep the weeds out so it don't choke it. But I tell you what. Sooner or later, y'all went out there and picked some fruit, didn't you?
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's all about. Be patient, therefore, to the coming of the Lord. He will come, and it'll be worth the wait. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Peter said, the day of the Lord will come. Boy, I like that affirmative there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But in between that day of the Lord will come, the Bible says there'll be scoffers. That's mentioned twice in your Bible. It's mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. And it's mentioned in the book of Jude, verse number 18. And the way the world looks at the coming of the Lord, they say, well, they ain't come yet. And you know, the Bible does say, you think not, he's going to come. But I'm expecting him. I'm looking forward to him. And for lack of better words than nothing else, I know he's coming for me. He promised that he'd come for me. And he promised he'd come for you. And that patient promise that we have from God, exceeding great and precious promises to us, where he's coming, praise God, and going to get us out of this mess. I don't know about you, but the more I look, the more I see the mess we're making, I don't see no way in the world that man can change the mess we're in except add to it, make it worse. Seems like everything man does makes it worse than what it was. But praise God, God's going to get us out of this mess. He's going to clean up this mess. Praise God, we're going to have a new earth. We was talking about that a little bit Wednesday night. Ain't going to be no sea. But you know, there'll be scoffers. They'll say, well, you know, things just continue as they did from the beginning. That's true. But one day, praise God, he's going to show up. Amen. They say, where's the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I guess, according to when I got wrote here, I guess we ought to read a little bit of this than me trying to quote it. And I say try to quote it. That's what I did this morning. I've been better off to got it out and read it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I do want to read quite a bit of this. And please listen to me. If you don't follow along with me in your Bible, just listen to me. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, moreover, brethren, I would that you should not be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did eat that same spiritual meat. And did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Now I'm going somewhere, so bear with me. But in this journey right here, notice it said that these things are our examples. They are examples for the intent that we should learn from their mistakes and not lust after evil things. So bear with me a minute. I'm laying some foundation here. Neither be ye idolaters, And some of them, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things again happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now that's what I wanted to read. I'm going to read it a little bit further. But we're the generation upon whom the ends of the world are come. I don't know how far. I don't know if it's going to be December the 21st. I'm like you. I speculate and wonder. I just know one thing. The end of the world is going to come. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. They have no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as unto wise men. He said, judge ye what I say. And that's quite a bit. Then 15 verses, but Paul says, we got some examples. He said, we've got, all kind of examples. And he says, we need to be wise in these last days. Amen. And we are to live, the Bible said in Titus chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, that we are to live righteous, godly, sober in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Peter said, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Now, what I'm getting at is, while we're waiting, we need to be living right. There ought not never be a time that we should ever jaywalk, that we should ever walk according to the course of this world. But we are to walk as children of God. We are to stand out, we are to be a peculiar people. And our neighbors are to look at us, and they are to come to only one conclusion. They are to be able to derive that we've been with Jesus. And I tell you what, something has happened. Our home ought to be different. Our heart ought to be different. We ought to leave like Enoch a testimony behind when God comes from us. Then I tell you what, they'll say, we should have listened to them. Yeah. Now you ain't going to win everybody. But you ought to warn everybody.
Yes.
You ought to warn them to flee this wrath. It's coming. Now, we got a little time. I don't know how long. But during this little time, you need to warn your lost loved ones. You need to warn your loved ones that's out there in the far country. You need to tell them, buddy, the Lord's going to come. And Hebrews said He's not going to delay His coming. It's not like we got anything to do with Him coming. He's going to come, and He's not going to delay His coming. It's kind of like that game we used to play hide and seek. I mean, red or not, He's going to come. Amen. Man, I tell you what. This world's going to get what it deserves. Amen? Right now, the only thing holy get back what they deserve, Brother Bob, is us.
Amen.
If it wasn't for us, they'd already be getting their double handful, but they'd be getting their double cup of the wrath of God. But because we're here, and Jesus is in us, and we're in Him, right now, buddy, it's kind of held back. But when God takes us out, man, oh man, the world being to the inhabitants of this world, they're going to drink their fill of the wrath of God. If you're here lost tonight, please listen to me tonight. I'm telling you right now, but it's age of grace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me have an intermission here. I got saved by grace. God had grace anyway. I didn't deserve it, Carolyn. But He showed me grace. Grace I can't even explain. I mean, buddy, I talked about this morning about people unworthy to be saved, and I'm one of them. Amen? But I'm glad, praise God, even though I was an outcast, even though I was a blasphemer, even though I tell you what, I was injurious, and I tell you what, buddy, done everything wrong, I'm glad God had grace to me. Paul said, I found mercy because I did it ignorantly. I'm glad there's mercy to be had. I'm glad there's grace that you can get. Amen? But when God takes His church out, He's going to, buddy. When God takes His church out, the age of grace is over. When He takes His church out, the age of grace is over, it's going to be rough. I mean, it's going to be a rough road to hoe, amen. I mean, right now, buddy, grace is given. Salvation's free. Man, at the expense of Jesus, at the suffering that He endured, you can be forgiven. The one on the cross, beaten beyond recognition, best is marred more than any man, hanging on that Roman cross, said, Father, forgive them. And God said, for your sake, I will. Right now, you can have that. And if God comes from a church, and you don't leave with a church, but I'll tell you what, you'll have hell to pay to go to heaven, amen. Be rough. I'm glad I got in on grace, amen. But oh me, what kind of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, our neighbors ought to know we love the Lord. There'll not be no question about it. Ought not be up for discussion. Amen. I mean, we'll make it a priority. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove what is that perfect will of God. Amen. I mean, buddy, we ought to present our bodies. You know, back years ago, they used to offer up sacrifices to God, and God will tell you what He come His nostrils, a sweet smelling savor. But now, praise God, He wants a living sacrifice. He wants you to live righteous, godly, sober in this present evil world, and you'll honor Him and sacrifice to Him if you can live like that, and you should, amen. Set the standard high as you can. Now, I don't like to hear people, you know, I guess, for lack of a better word, just want to. Like that king this morning just hit three times, that's it. All I see people say, Glory to God, what can I do for God? Is there anything I can do for God? Just set it as high as you can. Amen. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, 18, he said, For the time is coming. I got my watch on, and Brother Alvis, you got yours on? We got them watches on, and the reason we got them on so we know what time it is. But there's going to be a day, time's going to be no more. Right now, the Bible says it's high time. High time to get saved. It says now is acceptable time. Ain't no better time than right now to get saved. Ain't no better time right now than to serve the Lord. Ain't no better time right now to shout. Lord, just stop here just a minute. Just shout the roof off so people at least know we're saved. Amen. Ain't no better time to sing the songs of God. Kaylin, you couldn't pick a better age to start for the glory of God. Amen. You can't start too early. Amen. I mean, boy, it's a good time. Good time to be saved. Good time to seek salvation. Good time, praise God, to live for the Lord. I mean, buddy, right now is the time to get in. Right now is the time to get on board. Right now is the time. I tell you what, Lord, anything I can do. Lord, I tell you what. I tell you, praise God, there's plenty you can do. Amen. Brother Melvin and Sister Margaret was trying to get some people to come to church tonight. And they labored pretty hard in it. And they was going to drive the van. I was going to ride with them up there. We were going to bring a whole busload tonight. But they called them. And you know, there's a real devil down here. There really is. Then he kind of come against that. And they had good intentions up to the last minute. The last minute, the devil talked them out of it. And they said it might come next time. Now, I'll just tell you this. That's nothing but the old handiwork of the old devil. And I'll tell you right now, you'll have to whoop him to do the things of God. You'll have to whoop him, and you'll have to whoop your flesh to be able to go for God, but it can be done. But Peter said, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, he said, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? He said, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Amen. Now you're going with the Bible to Isaiah chapter 1. I believe it's verse 28. It's either verse 27 or verse 28. And it says the destruction of the sinner and the transgressors shall be together. If there ever was a time to cleave to Jesus, right now is the time. If there ever was a time to live for Him, right now is the time. I know everybody's got that want-to-be attitude. Boy, I want to be this, I want to be that. Listen, forget about that and just do it. Amen? All the things you've been wanting to do, whatever's hindering you, put it aside and do it. Do it with all your mind. Do it for the glory of God. I tell you what, we'll leave behind a legacy because God's coming for us. Ain't going to be long. Amen? He's been waiting. I tell you what, He's been patiently waiting. He's coming. He's coming. Amen? And I tell you what, I can't wait to leave. I heard one guy, he said, I'd just soon leave as to stay. And I tell you what, I'd rather leave as to stay. But I'm glad, praise God, I got somewhere to go. I'm somebody going somewhere, and hallelujah, I got somewhere to go. Amen. Amen. Man, I think about all of the ambition, all the aspirations I have in my life, and I think everybody does. You know, my wife, she wants me to remodel the house and fix this and fix that. But glory to God, when He comes, I'm just going to leave all that behind, Brother Bobby. I ain't never going to get around to remodeling. I ain't going to never get around to fixing those things. Hallelujah. I'm just going to leave it all behind. Somebody else can fix it. My old house ain't worth a whole lot. But if somebody wants it, they can have it. We'll be gone. I hope my wife is on board. I think she is. Sometimes I wonder. I'm sure she wonders at me. And you know, we live together. And the Bible says, well, woman, according to knowledge, she thinks, well, you need to get straightened up. I think, girl, you need to get straightened up. I tell you what, I believe, glory to God, that God got her good and saved, me good and saved one day. Hallelujah, we'll be perfect, amen. Hallelujah. Man, thank God for a place called heaven. Man, if there's anything other than faith to know that if God come tonight, you'd leave and leave with Him. You know, to come up here tonight, we was talking today at the dinner table about we've lost our tears. You know when lost people get saved? They get saved and you start putting tears on that altar. Now, it took some rain to get them crop up, didn't it, Brother Melvin? You put that seed in the ground, got that ground ready, got that seed in the ground, but it ain't going to go happen if it don't get no rain on it, does it? We get some tears. The Bible says, they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless return again, rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. And I tell you what, there is an absence of tears. And Margaret was telling me about a dream she had, and it was a good boy. I tell you what, I believe God was in that thing. And I tell you what, we need some of that. The Bible said, well, there's no vision of people perish, but I think the church ought to be woke up. We ought to be made aware of the fact we're fixing to leave out. And if there's anybody that's dear to you, and anybody you care about, you ought to be like God and try to warn them to get ready to leave out. Amen. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I don't know exactly on the clock of God what hour we're on, but I think we're right at the midnight hour. I don't expect to make it all the way home tonight. Now I know about 2037 Brandon School Road. If He comes, I'll make it home tonight. Amen. But I wonder sometimes how long we got. I wonder sometimes why we don't do more. I wonder sometimes why we hesitate or delay all that we know we need to do. Man, I got on my knees this morning. I prayed for Rick and his wife to come tonight. They didn't come, but I prayed for them. Yeah, well, I won't go down the list, but you know what I mean? The Bible talks about, you know, how well to pray for people. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not cease. Even if I can't do nothing but pray, I can do that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, you're talking about one worthy to receive the word of His suffering. Our Savior, boy, gave His life, poured out His soul unto death. I'm telling you, buddy, suffered without the gate. You notice He didn't die in Jerusalem. You know why He didn't? Because He's the Passover Lamb. He had to die outside of Jerusalem. Or He couldn't have been the Passover Lamb. He suffered without the gate. And out there, buddy, I mean, they beat Him and crucified Him and mocked Him and made fun of Him. All for one reason. So He could say, thy sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And I remember the day He told me, Sister Emmeline, my sins was forgiven. And there was peace come up on me. I tell you what, like the oceans out there in the I don't know the names of them. I guess Pacific, Atlantic, I don't know. But there was peace like an ocean. You know, I've been out in the ocean a little bit, and you get up there so far you can't see nothing but water. I went 40 miles out in the ocean, and I just a little country boy, man, it was bigger than I could even conceive in my mind anything being that big. But even out there in that ocean, it didn't compare with the peace God gave me. I'm telling you, boy, oceans of peace. Peace that no matter what, no matter what, no matter all of the struggles and trials that come up on us, I had peace to make it through it. And I tell you what, the Bible said, if I need more, He'd give more. Amen. Now I'm telling you, I'm glad, praise God, for the peace of God. One night, Brother Melvin's barn burnt down. But he's got a better barn now, as far as I'm concerned, he does. And I tell you what, buddy, I'm glad, God. Hallelujah. You know, things may happen in life. I don't have explanations for them, but I'll tell you one thing I do can explain. God will fix it. Amen. And I'll tell you what, He'll give you better than what you had. But I'm telling you, buddy, in these last days, it said, what will be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now listen, the gospel is this right here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And everybody always wondered, did he rise on the third day? And rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, amen. But listen, not only did he obey God and what he did, but we're supposed to obey God according to the gospel. We're supposed to live like we're saved. We're supposed to live where this world won't be able to have a case of mistaken identity and thinking, I don't know, I gave Brother Melvin a CD, and that CD is a preacher on there, Brother Evans, and his grandfather cooked moonshine, and Brother Evans, he said, I was pretty rough myself, but he said, my grandfather said he's always drunk. And he said, I come up that age, my grandfather told me to do something. And he said, no, I ain't going to do it. And his grandfather said, say what? He said, that's right, old man. He said, you ain't big enough to make me do it. And he said, that right? You a man now, boy? He said, that's right. And he said, his grandmother said, run. Ev said, he's going to shoot you. He said, I did run, but not fast enough. Said, he shot me the 12-gauge shotgun, left me out there in the woods. And he said, didn't kill me, but I didn't sass him no more, amen. But I tell you what, Brother Ev also said, good Lord, lost my train of thought there. Tell you what he also said. He said, oh me, and I had that right on the tip of my tongue. See if I can retrieve that. Y'all bear with me. I have an intercession here a second here. See if I can retrieve that. Good Lord, I went down that aisle just to say one thing and now I done lost it. Amen. Oh me. Well, I may have to preach his whole message just to get this one thought out. Well, I'll get back on where I was here. But, I tell you what it was. Praise the Lord. He said he got saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank y'all for praying for me. He said he got saved. He said, I didn't immediately. His grandfather got saved, first of all, and his grandmother got saved, and then they got a burden for the grandson. And they'd weep for him and pray over him. And I mean, he said, I was a hippie, and he said, I was into drinking and drugging and all that. And he said, they'd tell me, they'd say, Ev said they're going to have food down there today. And he said, I was always looking for a free meal. And he said, I went down there, and he said, that preacher held me over hell about 45 minutes. And when he got done, I didn't want nothing to eat. But anyway, let me run all this up. He ended up getting saved. And he said, when I got saved, he said, I still had long hair. And he said, I still had them bell-bottom breeches. And I still had that peace shirt on, And he said, they'd go out on visitation. He said, nobody wanted to go with me. He said, I couldn't figure out why they didn't want to go with me. And he said, well, I look like Charles Manson. He said, no wonder nobody wanted to go with me. But anyway, he said that one day he was hitchhiking a ride. Just told him, he said, this truck driver picked him up. And he got up in the truck, and that truck driver said, you got any weed on him? He said, no, I ain't got no weed on me. He said, I'm saved. He said, well, you look like somebody have some on him. He said, then it dawned on me. And he said, a lost man told me I need to clean up. He said, I cleaned up. Glory to God. He started looking the part. Amen. I mean, we get good and saved, we'll start looking the part. I'm telling you, we're gazing stock. The world's looking for something. They're not going to find it if they don't find it in us. Amen. But he said, I look like Charles Manson. He said, nobody wanted to go with me on visitation when we paired up. And he said, I was clean on the inside, but the outside didn't match the inside. Listen, now that we're saved, let's get the outside like the inside. Man, let's not have a case of mistaken identity. You know what? I had a man come to me one day and ask me, where I get some good dope at. I said, what you told me? He said, well, you act like you're high. I said, I am high on Jesus. Amen. Yeah. He run plumb out of his shoes. Amen. But that's the best high I know. But anyway, I don't know how long we got to the coming of the Lord. Until the lost, let me say, get saved. To the saved, work. Warn. Welcome people to leave, because we're going to leave out. I don't know how long. I got my watch on. Brother Alvis got his watch on, but our watches can't tell how much time we got. But I do know this. The Bible does say time will be no more. And up on that day right there, the calendars won't work no more. I don't know about the Mayan calendar, but the calendars won't work no more, and the watches won't work no more, because time will be no more. Down here, we're all on schedule. We're all down here, somehow we're somewhere wishing we're somewhere else to be. Like little Caleb's son back there. But when we finally get home, we're not wishing for anywhere else to be. We'll finally be home. I can't explain heaven. I wish I could. I wish I could take us up there. And we just go up there and just take a visit, a tour of heaven, and come down here and turn the world upside. Can you imagine, Brother Bobby, if we could go to heaven tonight and just stay up for about 5 minutes and come back down here, what a difference we'd make in our community. Can you imagine how sore your finger would be a phone calling? How sore your feet would be to run into your neighbors and saying, listen, there's a place called heaven. I've seen it. It ought to be that real to us. I've seen it.
And you need to get ready to go there. It's wonderful. I mean, buddy, we're to be good salesmen. I mean, buddy, I'll tell you one thing about good salesmen. They can sell you something, but I like a salesman. He said he's tried it. He said, I tell you, my own self, I've tried it. You know the psalmist, he gave that verse to us, Psalms 34, verse 8. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We ought to have that kind of a atmosphere about us that the world knows that we've tasted that heavenly gift. And I'll tell you what, buddy, one day we're going home. The coming of the Lord, it's drawing nigh. I don't know how much longer we got. I just know one thing. We need to be busy. You know, they asked Jesus at the age of 12 years old. They said, Son, carest not that we cared for your word for you. You know what Jesus told him at the age of 12 years old? He said, know you not. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Mm-hmm. But he started early. How old are you, Katie? 9. Amen. Boy, earlier the better. I can't think of too early of an age to get started for Jesus. But even at the age of 9 years old, that little old Israeli maid told Naaman, she said, there's a prophet in Israel. If you can get to him, you can get healed. Boy, little children. Man, the Bible said a child will lead him. My little old boy, I think he's about your age, come back here and told his drunk daddy, Daddy, will you go to church with me today? And for the first time in my life, at the age of 34 years old, I saw the real Eddie Wade. Out of the lips of a little boy, I saw the real Eddie Wade. And I mean, buddy, it not bark off my... You ever got sucker punched, Brother Howard? I didn't see this coming. I mean, my bedroom door open. I'm still drunk from the night before. I just blasphemed God and dared God to meddle in my life. And I had cursed Him and I had made fun of the church and made fun of preachers and the Bible and everything else. And God sent a little old boy back here in my bedroom. And like I said, I hate to say it, but I was still drunk from the night before, trying to get dressed to go fishing. And Sophia shared with me a little bit this afternoon about why the family was grieving. And that boy described me. That's exactly what I was. I was on a head-on course with death. And I tell you, it's a wonder I hadn't made it. But I'm glad God intervened. That little boy come back here in my bedroom, walked up to me and was more of a man than I was. Here I was, big old 200-pound drunk, and thought I could whoop anybody. And that little old boy walked up to me and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? And I ain't kidding, I fell down to my knees. He got me, boy, got me good. And I choked on the words, bit about an inch of my tongue off, said, of course, Daddy, go to church with you today, son. And that little boy went running down our hall. Mama, mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. And me and the devil back there went around 3, amen. Now how are you going to get out of this, boy? There wasn't no getting out of it. I'm telling you, I was in over my head right there. But I got dressed that day, and I mean, boy, went to church for the first time with my family. Boy, there's a world of people out there that need to hear what I'm saying right now. Men that I saw this morning towing their toys down the highway and their family going to the house of God and they think they're real men. I just challenge, I know this on the internet, but I just challenge you real men out there, be a man, go to church. Won't you just show me how manly you are? Bear up your loins, get dressed, and go to church with your family. Well, I done that day. And there's a devil boy, and I mean, Carolyn, he literally was pushing me like this right here. You don't need to go in there. And he telling me, he said, you know, you go in there, they're all going to look down their nose at you. And I believed it. I mean, I believed it so much I almost turned around and went back home. I already had a yellow streak up my back, and it was getting bigger. And he said, you know, they're all going to say, who brought him in here? I mean, here I am, I'm drunk, and man, here I'm going to church. Can you imagine that, a drunk going to church? But I tell you what, I finally got a hold of that doorknob, and me and the devil fought over it. And I finally turned that thing, got that door open, and that preacher in there saw me. And I don't know how in the world he could understand my predicament, but he ran to me and shook my hand and said, we're glad to have you. Come on in here. You know what kind of people need to come to church? People that need help. I needed some help. I was on that road, boy. I was on that road. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. I was on that road. Man, I couldn't find the exit. I couldn't get off of it. Man, I was bound and determined to get drunk every day. I needed help. I tell you what, I don't care how rough they are, you drag them in here, and we'll preach to them about Jesus. We'll tell them, praise God, He's got a cure for whatever they got a problem with. Amen. I mean, buddy, He does all things well. That preacher got up there that day, boy, I sat back on that back row, and he preached about sin, about the love of God. He preached about heaven and about hell. Boy, I tell you what, I want to go to heaven. I want everybody to go to heaven.
Amen.
And I tell you what, you got to be saved, go to heaven. Just wanting to go to heaven won't get it done.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again." You got to be saved to go to heaven. And the Bible said, "The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone name the name of Christ apart from iniquity." I'm telling you, buddy, God knows those that are His, and those that ain't His won't leave out. Amen. To be left behind.
Amen.
Oh me, that old devil, they gave that invitation, Sister Carolyn. That devil nailed my feet to the floor and I couldn't move neither one of them. And I'm telling you what, my hands seemed like they was glued to that pew in front of me. And I wanted to go up there. They said, "Won't you come?" And listen, I've been there. When they give that invitation, you want to come. And that old devil says, "You can go next time. Don't go tonight." That old song says, "Why not tonight?" You tell me the answer to that. Why not tonight? That old devil says, "You got plenty of time." Remember this, he's a liar and the father of it.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Now is the accepted time." He said, "Today's the day." But I didn't get saved that day. And I wanted to. But I'll be honest with you, the reason I didn't get saved, I didn't know how to be saved. And I wondered, you know, what do I need to do? I wanted to get saved, I just didn't know what to do. I had men brought up in church, I didn't know how to be saved. But I worked with a man, Brother Bobby, and he wasn't ashamed of his Lord. He talked to me about Jesus as much as I'd let him. And that wasn't really easy. But he was my boss. We'd get in them units in there, you know, and he'd be right there beside me. And he said, "Eddie, you ever been saved?" I said, "No." He said, "You ought to get saved." I said, "I know, Wendell." Well, anyway, he talked to me a lot. And I knew he cared for me, Carolyn. And I thought, if I can just get to Wendell, I can get saved. I thought, if I can just get to Wendell, boy, ain't it good when a lost person knows that there's someone, if they can just get to them. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading his Bible and he wasn't getting nowhere. And God told Philip by the Holy Ghost of God, he said, "You go down there and join yourself to that chariot." And he went down there and that Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip said, "Understandest what thou readest?" That Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he got up there in that chariot, boy, and showed him. Showed him what about Jesus. Bible said he began at that scripture. Preach to him Jesus. Amen. Anyway, I thought if I can just get to Wendell, he can tell me how to be saved. And sure enough, I did. I finally found Wendell. I got about 10 minutes. So bear with me. I'll throw this in there and we'll leave. I finally went out there. Donnelly's out there. That big old, great big plant out there. Donnelly's worked there for 32 years. And I'm going frantically. Has anybody seen Wendell? Has anybody seen Wendell? I need to find Wendell. No, I ain't seen him. I ain't seen him. I'm going to break room, press room. I'm going everywhere. Somebody said, "I think I seen Wendell in the foreman's office." Now, for those of you that don't know who Wendell is, I know this can't be seen on the internet. God bless you, brother. That's Wendell Shaw. He told an old lost boy how to be saved. Wendell Shaw. Man, I tell you what, boy. He was able to put it in layman's terms. He was able to tell an old lost man named Eddie Wade how to be saved. I finally found Wendell Shaw. He's in the foreman's office, Kayla. And I went in there and they was talking print talk, you know, work type stuff. How to resolve problems and what to do about situations. And I went, you get good and lost, you do the same thing. I went in there, Carolyn, I opened that door. I mean, they just serious they can be. I opened that door and I said, "I don't care what y'all are talking about, I said, I'm lost, I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
I need somebody to tell me how to be saved." And I wish I had a picture, James, take their picture of their face, if you could have seen, I mean, go all these like I had a loaded AK-47 or something, I don't know, but anyway, that foreman, he's the guy that puts all them billboards up on the side of the road. I mean, we all had an extreme change that day. This event affected all three of us. It affected me because I got saved. But it affected them as being like dormant and rising up and realizing there are people out there needing to be saved.
Yeah.
And that foreman quit work and started putting up billboards on the side of the road to tell people how to be saved. Y'all seen them great big billboards on the side of the interstate? That's the man put them up, my foreman that was in there. That's him put them big billboards up. Hell's real and you know all that stuff. That's him, that foreman in there that day. And that foreman, first of all, he quoted me about 5 verses out of the Bible. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved and repent and receive the Lord," and all that. And you know, for lack of better words, it just didn't. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. It just didn't do anything for me. And Wendell saw that, and he had discernment. And I thank God for men to have discernment. And Wendell said, "Eddie," he said, "I want to leave, and I want to leave right now." And we walked outside that foreman's office with people brushing our shoulders on each side. He told me the most phenomenal thing. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you, Eddie. He's just waiting for you to ask Him. He said, let me give you this illustration. I know y'all have heard this, but I never get tired of telling it. He said, Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong, and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? And I said, well, when do I forgive him? He said, hey, it's the same way with God. Even though that don't do nothing for you, at that moment right then, faith sprung up in my heart. Faith to believe God to forgive me. And if I could have waited a Sunday, I would have, Sister Emmeline. I think these women sometimes, you know, they want to have a baby. My wife wanted to have her oldest girl on her birthday, and she didn't make it. It ain't always like that. I wanted to wait till Sunday, but I couldn't, amen. And the travail of this come upon me of being, you know, being birthed into the family of God, there those travails come upon me, and I couldn't wait till Sunday. Amen. And I got saved at home. Matter of fact, it was either on a Monday or Tuesday. I have to get my calendar out. I still got a calendar down the basement of the same year that I got saved. But I got saved April 27th, 1988. I knelt down there by my bedside at 9000 Ebony Road. I didn't know how to pray, but I certainly wanted to get saved. I knelt down there and I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me You love me. Somebody told me if I'd ask You, You'd forgive me my sin and save my soul. And I said, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking You to save me. Mm-hmm. And to my amazement and everybody else's, an old sinner named Eddie Wade got saved that day. Got saved just for asking. I got saved because I came to the right one. I got saved because I asked the right thing. I got saved because I believed Him to do it. Yeah. And I've been saved now 24 years. I was 34 years old when I got saved, and I'm kind of hoping God will tarry long enough for me to balance the books for what He does or what He don't. I'm just glad I'm saved. Amen. Yeah. But oh me, the blessing of being saved. The blessing to know that heaven's my home. My citizenship's in heaven. I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, if heaven tonight, if there's any doubt of you making it, you'll do something tonight. Make preparation. He may come tonight. I don't know what, there's something. Maybe it's just me, but there's something in the air. All I can think about is the coming of the Lord. All I can think about is leaving out. May this be me. Y'all may not have to look this old ugly mug no longer. I don't know. I know one thing. The Lord's going to come. Lord, we thank You for the message tonight. I pray, Father, it stirred hearts. Lord, Father, God, tonight, I pray, Father, Lord, for lost that might be here. I pray for the saved that are here. The Lord might be made aware. We might redeem the times. And we might, I pray, do what we can while we can. And we'll give You all the praise and glory for anything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could ask everybody to stand, get Brother Melvin. If he would, I don't know if he can find that song. Why not tonight be a good and Father, I'm sorry, just as I am or anything? 128. Amen. You need some help or you just gonna they got a four bars with it? You need to come tonight, don't wait, come right now. Come right now. Get the thing that Jesus died for you to have. Go home.
That's 128 there, buddy.
I used to be afraid to close my eyes at night, wondering if I'd wake up in hell. Don't go to bed like that tonight. Go to bed tonight knowing all you can do is wake up in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed assurance. 128.
Oh,
do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Won't you come tonight?
Be saved.
I mean, I'd run down here. I wish I could get saved more than once. I'd do it again. Man, the most wonderful thing life has to offer is to get your sins under the blood, get your name in the book, and to know that He belongs to you and you belong to Him. The most wonderful thing, the greatest achievement in life is to make your way to Jesus. Won't you come tonight? It may be too late tomorrow. I say that because it may be true. You just don't know. The Bible said, boast not of tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring. They may already have you coffin made. They may already have a grave plot for you. I won't need one tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Won't you come? Young or old? Not tonight.
Our Lord and pity.
Yes, He does.
And will satisfy
remember that once your stubborn will be saved, tonight. I'm sure there's been in time past generations that heard this song and they spurned that invitation, Sister Carolyn. And they left out them doors lost and undone. And that was God's last invitation. One of them, well, if there's anybody here that ever has a desire to be saved, I believe I'd do it tonight. Amen? And things are falling in order. I see that Middle East conflict over there. I see the mess they're making over here. And I say one thing, prepare to meet thy God. In an hour you think not, He's a coming, ready or not, and I believe it when He does. Amen. Then why not tonight? Then why not tonight? Thank you, Brother Melvin. Well, we preach and plead, pray. That's about all we can do. We plant water. That's still all we can do. Only God can give the increase. We stopped right on time. Anybody got a word on your heart tonight before we let you go? It's been good to be here. Thank you for coming. Well, it's
all for the mission.
Bless you, Brother Alice. Thank you, brother. Amen. God bless you. That'd be all.
That's the 146.
Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. I certainly wouldn't question that.
146.
This world is not
my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven was not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Yeah, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus 40 years ago. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. I'm glad heaven is my home, amen. Will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I do have a loving mother over in the glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven was not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. My home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open doors. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, amen. I can't feel at home no more. Hallelujah. I'm about as out of place could be. Hallelujah. We're strangers and pilgrims, sojourners passing through. One day, glory to God, we'll have true Thanksgiving. We'll finally be home. Are we done? Love you tonight. Thank you for coming.
It's good to be here, George. A good message. And if you want to stay here tonight.
Bless you, Brother Melvin. You go ahead and dismiss us and pray out there, brother.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here tonight. I just want to make your children in this way.
Thank you.
For the message, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of being here.
Yes, Father.